This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, Chef Kevin here. If you missed last week's episode, the boys and I announced we're taking a holiday break. Woohoo! So what's that mean? This episode and next week's episode, we're unpaywalling some content from behind the Patreon. This one is two of our favorite pro versions from this year. The guys and I chatted about it. Some people on Discord sent some suggestions as well. And we got two amazing episodes that we're going to release right now. And then next week, we are unpaywalling one of the best episodes of Hollywood Masterclass, but they're all the best. Also, in case you missed it, we made a free feed for Hollywood Masterclass, and it has all three seasons on there. A link for that is in the description. Also, just because some people have asked, we're still going to be releasing some new pro versions and the flagrant ones on the Patreon for the next 2 weeks. So enjoy these two episodes and happy holidays.
I'm gonna crack this G Fuel.
Bust the G Fuel open. It's important that you get fueled up.
Crack this Crash Bandicoot Wumpa Fruit flavored G Fuel. Been eyeballing this in the fridge for going on 2 weeks now. Let's check the date on this mother.
Mm-hmm. Get a big eyeful of the date.
I got a whole year.
Okay. So you can really take small sips.
To sip on it.
Tiny sips, because you can actually drink this for 365 mm-hmm. full days and never risk disease.
Oh, that's Wumpa Fruit. Oh, I'm getting ready to get in that ass of Dr. Neocortex.
You see the adaptogenic mushroom cola by Dram I was drinking yesterday? Have you had that?
Yes, I did. I'm really focused on Wumpa Fruit flavored G Fuel right now.
I had never had
Dr. Neocortex has kidnapped my sister Coco.
Kevin, throw a...
And Aku Aku.
Throw a picture of the mushroom cola up at some point so people can see it too, because that we both have had some interesting drinks.
Dr. Neocortex, I will come. And it's, I am coming for you, bitch.
And that was really something special. Dram. Yeah, there we go. There we go, right up top.
Put me in the cortex.
Dram Apothecary.
Put you in the cortex vortex. You bitch.
I was having this yesterday.
Looks good. Does it taste like a big mushroom?
Took me on a journey.
Yeah.
Guess how many calories?
I'm going to say... Grams of sugar, I'm going to say 2 0.
I don't know how they do it, because it does have a little bit of a cola taste. Now, I didn't pay $25 for it, like this website says.
It's a 12-pack. $25 for a 12-pack. Although that doesn't seem out of reach with this stuff.
I probably did pay $2.25 or something.
Easy.
Well, I need to have a special drink sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
I can't handle the fucking G Fuel. I can't have Wumpa Fruit.
Look at that. Even the warning labels are warped by the contents inside.
Yeah.
They've been struggling to be freed, just like Crash from Dr. Neocortex's experiment.
Well, I do want to talk a little bit about actually struggle. And
it's real.
A desire for freedom and a desire for expression, which of course Crash Bandicoot is fighting for, and, you know, within the context of the game. I want to talk about this town, what it does to people. That's the purpose of the show. And I want to talk about also, we try to get personal. We try to be raw. I'm feeling really vulnerable today. Because some of the things we battle against have invited themselves into my own home.
We talk about hypocrisy. We talk about fakeness. We talk about people that are just like out there putting on this like big performance for everybody. And it's like, number one, you like the shit you're doing sucks.
That's first.
Number two, no one wants to hear any of this bullshit.
Number three, shut the fuck up. Like, get out of my face. Like, stop.
Yes.
And number four, we talk about hypocrisy. Get out of my fucking face. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah.
You know, because the shit you're doing sucks.
Mm-hmm. Over with this.
Yeah. Later for
night,
that.
Night.
Later for that. And go when I say later, that. You go, well, when? In like an hour? I mean, no, after I am dead and gone.
Mm-hmm.
Later for that, when I have died in 2026.
And you say, okay, well, you've done it for 7 or 8 teasers, but when are you going to like turn this, like turn it like around and like actually focus on what's going on in your own home? And it's
my
like, okay,
well,
that's what we're talking about today with not my home, but someone else's.
We've gone into teaser. We've said what works. We've said what doesn't work. And obviously we're putting judgment on other people's homes and their side of the street. And it's time to take a good long look in the mirror, trying to turn the, you know, the self-facing camera lens on and go selfie mode and talk about what's happening in my own home. So the other day I'm in the car with my child. He says, "What's that?" I'm driving, by the way. I'm driving. What's that? Well, unless you're talking about the road, I don't know.
It's just you in the car?
It's me.
Mm-hmm.
It's him.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is there.
Okay.
A lot of help she is.
Yeah. It's like you say something like, "I'm driving the car."
What's that? The road, the posted traffic signs that allow me to stay safe here. Is that what you mean? No, that.
The different warning lights that I need to be accounting for, keeping in balance at all times.
The colors, the words, you know what I mean? The other cars.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's crazy when you think about it, what we do when we get behind that wheel. The amount of things, you're not playing a video game, Hayes. Mm-hmm. This is real life, okay? The number of things you have to keep track of, cars, the warning lights you referenced, the indicators inside the cockpit.
There's no hitting pause to go have a snack.
No, we don't regenerate.
There's no eating peanut butter pizza roll.
Uh-uh.
No, no.
There's no opening some crate and there's a grenade inside or something that you get to pack away
Mommy
for
did,
later.
Did they come inside, have peanut butter pizza roll? You play video games outside in your house. You have the whole rig set up outside.
No.
Mommy doesn't want you to play that inside.
There's no 2-liter soda bottle, right? So we kind of get through the other side of that. You know, luckily there was a stoplight and I finally did talk to my wife, you know, and I did sort of reclaim my man card. And I said, "You tell me if that light changes, I'm going to deal with what's happening in the back seat."
You turn all the way around. Yes.
Yes. What's what? What is what? And he's pointing at an advertisement, of course. The commercialization of our culture, the producting of everything.
He's facing forward now?
He's facing diagonal.
Okay. That sounds like a good compromise.
Always just off, you know?
At some point, they're supposed to face forward, I guess, but I'm about to sunder.
No, I just like...
we got about to say turn it back around.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all.
Don't be looking at me.
Some point of rotation. Yeah, don't look right at me. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't want you to see me driving. I'm not always watching the road. So he's pointing at this, you know, poster or whatever that says there's a museum exhibit.
Mm.
Artist named Keith Haring.
Mm-hmm.
I go
like smells like a little fish,
like a stinky
smells
fish.
A little fishy to me.
Yeah, something fishy about this guy. I take this, of course, as an opportunity to go
Chief Keith
dad mode
mm-hmm.
and teach a little lesson. Well, Keith Haring's a famous artist. There's a museum, the Broad.
What are you two looking at?
What are you guys watching?
What's so interesting
over
there?
What are you watching?
I'm watching the monitors because I'm making an edit of the show.
What's
Kevin? We need two people on the monitors?
I watch Casey watch the monitors.
The show is here. You actually have a front row seat.
Yeah. Everyone else has to watch the monitors. You're one of the only people who's ever going to actually witness
people
what happened.
People pay $10 to pretend.
Things the monitors can't capture happening in here. And when I look to you guys, what I need is not... When I look back at my son, I want him diagonal. When I look at you, I actually want you straight on so I know that I'm safe. I can't... We've had... Engineers in the past, we've been burned before, okay? We've been a little hurt. When they're staring at a screen like that, the chive is up.
The Lad Bible.
They're chiving on. They're not keeping calm. They're actually keeping pretty out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So.
This is going to unplug.
Fuck, man.
That's happening right now?
Yeah, it's happening right now.
Look at all those cameras.
Now I see what they like about it.
Yeah.
Now I see what all the fuss is
about. All the different angles, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't want to deal with you dealing with this.
Casey broke it.
Don't break it.
So he's like, and now he's suddenly obsessed with the Keith Haring Museum, and he wants to know
He's asking me about the museum, and I go, Dad mode. I say, this is a famous artist. He actually has a particular style. And of course, my son has done art. I encourage the arts, you know, even if he's not as good as me, he's still allowed to try. And I said, he has this particular style that actually some of your stuff reminds me of because you fill the paper with these shapes. And I have an example, and this is not as good as Keith. I know it's not as good as Keith, but I'm trying to make him feel. And I say, you'll fill the paper up with all these shapes.
Yeah.
And I say, he does that sometimes. He draws these sort of rudimentary people and animals. Mm-hmm. And then he'll fill it up with squiggles where it almost looks like a staircase filling the page. And then my son says this to me, I swear to you. Have you ever even seen stairs? I say, yes. He says, they don't look like squiggles. I go, no, okay. Sometimes he does squiggles. Sometimes he does these kind of diagonal. It's like a step.
What the fuck?
Looks like step. I go, I've seen stairs. And then I say this, and I was proud of this because I came up with it in the moment. I go, I've actually seen way more stairs than you have. He says, no. He gets mad. He says, no, you haven't. I say, I grew up in a house with stairs. Real quiet for a minute. No, you didn't. At this point, I can't talk to him anymore. He's not engaging with the museum idea or any of the things I'm teaching at all. He just wants to have a fucking pissing contest over who's seen more stairs. It's so easy to win at that point. I go, never mind. Let's just go to where we're going, which is a place where you learn letters and numbers, which I know all of. And you don't.
What is this, like, the stairs
thing?
Doesn't
know G from J, like, it's like, does not know this shit. Doesn't know.
And does he think he really knows? I mean, I don't really want to get into this aspect of it, but I have seen him.
Cannot get H.
Attempt to, like, handle stairs. And, like, yeah, he can go by them, like, up and down them by himself now.
But it's not 100%.
No, like, certainly not very fast. Unless he's like going all fours.
When I do stairs, like, no one is offering
dog.
Me their hand.
Yes.
And I'm not asking for their hand. Can't say the same of my friend.
You're refusing their hand.
Yeah.
But if they offer.
I'm good. I'm good.
Mm-hmm. I can do
I've got both hands on the
I can
railing.
Do it myself.
I need both hands on the railing,
I
actually.
I can do it myself, you say.
Yeah. Can't risk pulling one off the railing. Thank you. So
50% of my daily vitamin C in this.
Bitch.
You mean I can
drink two?
Escort two of these to Pound Town.
Mm-hmm.
600 milligrams of caffeine, 100% of my daily vitamin C.
Well, anyway, you probably think as I did at this point, well, this story's over.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I'm working. I'm in my office. I'm working, trying to make money.
Uh-huh.
you know,
yeah.
to feed and clothe my family.
Yeah.
Mostly clothe. And how do I do it?
Just financially, yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh.
I go, what is this shit gonna be? What the fuck? I'm working. I open the door. Dude's there. Fires it. No, like, hey, how you doing? Am I interrupting? Says to me, don't bother me.
Yeah.
Dad, don't come bother me right now. I'm doing work. I need to do a famous art for the museum.
Okay. And you say, all right, I need...
Oh, so you were listening. You did hear what I said.
Right. And your first instinct in that situation, and anytime you enter into a conflict like this, mm-hmm. I agree with the instinct. We need a record of this.
Yes. Okay? I start recording. And I know if I let him know that yes. I'm recording, he'll clam up. He doesn't want this. He doesn't want this.
But he is outside. He is in public space.
He's in a public space. It's yes. entirely legal for yes. me to protect myself
mm-hmm.
by gathering evidence. Now, you'll notice that the video quality gets very bad at a certain point during this. It did start focusing on the screen instead mm-hmm. of the human being. I could not, of course, move outside the door or do anything to adjust the camera angle because he would have realized he was being recorded and he would have changed his tune.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sick stuff he's saying. He knows it. That's what's so fucked up to me. He knows it's wrong. He wouldn't want it on camera.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just me and him, he's willing to just spout off all day. So I start recording. That's the backstory. And I think we can see a little bit of like what this psycho is laying down.
Is it like a new one?
It's a new one. So I have to pay the people to show them if I can be in the museum or not. So I need to make a famous artist. Like do a famous art
Stop
to show
it.
Them.
Stop it. First, it's like, this is like a payola thing, right? Like
5 seconds in, I'm just like, what the fuck is this motherfucker on? Like, what is he on?
No, what's happening?
Just like from the beginning. Okay, so your number one thing is you don't even have art yet.
No. First, it's like, what's the financial situation?
There's no art.
And it's like he's paying for wall space or something. I have to make a famous artist. It's so...
First he says I have to make a famous artist. And it's like, what the fuck do you mean? And then he does walk it back and say, like, I have to make a famous art.
But is this not this city haze where it's cart before the horse all the time? It's, I need to craft this identity for myself as a famous artist. Not, I need to improve my craft.
Yes.
To the point where people start to have a visceral response to the work that I put out.
Yes.
It's, I need to create this famous artist who everyone loves.
Yes.
And it's bullshit.
And notice that it's always famous art, always famous
artist.
Not
good art.
What if it's just art? What if it were just, have you heard of the term art for art's sake?
What if art's not a competition?
No, it has to be.
What if it's not,
it has
you
to
know.
Be famous art.
What if we remove
which, by
money
the way,
and fame
you just heard
from
about
the
this
equation.
Yesterday.
Oh, you just found out.
Daddy just told you about this yesterday, bro.
Oh yeah. Yes, the tone is so condescending. I am the one who introduced the idea to you. What if
fucking
we remove, and
back
I didn't say,
up with this shit.
I did not say he's a rich artist. I said, this isn't, you know, this is a popular, this is a famous artist. The style reminds me of yours. I'm being very generous. And all of a sudden it's like, he's going to teach me about famous art.
No. He's going to tell you not to bother
yeah,
him.
Yeah, stay over here.
As far as he knows,
I was in here.
The only the person who told you about this shit in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now you don't want to be bothered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm so sorry I bothered you yesterday when I fucking taught you everything you know about what has now become your life's mission, apparently. And if we removed money and fame, I'm pretty sure you'd lose interest very fast. Which, by the way, you did. I didn't even see the yard he works on after that. But go ahead.
I was, as I'm hearing this, I'm like, yeah. This guy's not going to do
this.
This
is an old one. He didn't even do this anymore. This is what he used to do.
The new people that I'm going to be like.
So what are you doing right now? You're just making art, and then the art has to become famous so you could be in the museum?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like just paying money. Like,
why is it
and
money?
I need to pay all the guards and stuff that are going to be there and... To like say, okay, we can be here Uh-huh. And so the people that are going to make your new bad guys come in.
Okay, stop it. Okay. Stop it.
Pills.
I don't know where he gets this. Like, the, like, inside the fucking walled garden, right? Mm-hmm. Of, like, art. Oh, you know, on the poster, by the way, on the Keith Haring poster, it says art is for everyone. Mm-hmm. That is literally what it says. That's the name of the exhibit that's up that mm-hmm. he has been inspired yeah. by.
Okay.
And he goes,
how about that? But what if we had a bunch of fucking jackboots?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What if we had a bunch of armed guards standing around saying, okay, we'll be here. Like, you know, that's yeah. a big part of it for him.
Oh, what if we militarize the museum and we have them all carrying fucking deadly weapons, and they decide, you know, who's allowed to see the art and who's a bad guy. I don't know what he means when he says bad guy, and I did not press on that because I don't know how that reflects on me, because he's saying bad guys. He's saying he's gonna pay the guards. The artist is paying the guards?
You're not the artist
anymore. You're now like this employer and this owner. You're a landlord.
Well, I mean, what it is
is
about the whole like financial operation. Like, it has nothing to do. Once again, there is no art.
No.
We've established that, like,
the art's not there. The art is the last piece of the puzzle.
You have not created shit, bro. Mm-hmm. But we're already, like, we're going straight to, for you, number one mm-hmm. is guards.
It's like if I came up with ticket prices for the movie before I wrote a script, which I'm not allowed to do right now, by the way, because people like this, who put the money first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we haven't shot a single frame of it, but it's like, well, how much should I charge for the tickets? Oh, and who should be allowed to see it and who shouldn't? And what should happen to people who aren't allowed to see it? Should they be physically punished by my little private army? I think so. Jesus, play it.
People, I need to make a famous art.
This shit again.
For the museum. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Do you need anything from me right now?
No, just no. Wasting
just
your time.
Just don't bother you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But when I'm done, you can talk to me and stuff.
Oh, great. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I can't
think you sure?
For now.
Okay.
Okay. But there'll be time to be fast.
Then, can I just say?
Okay, stop it. Stop
then
it.
Then fucking go.
Right? When I'm done, you can No, he interrupted me.
I know.
I was working. And then it's like, when I'm done, you could talk to me. Oh, thank you so much. I'm your dad. I taught you about this. You live in my fucking house. You're bothering me. Okay. But you're not going to forget about me. I can talk to you. Oh, thank you so much. I can't share in the profits. By the way, that's not mentioned.
And I'm just like, okay, if there's this like big urgency around like you not being bothered, then go fucking do whatever it is you need to do.
I felt the same way.
What are you still doing here,
well,
bro?
Well, you hear me ask. I go, well, do you need anything from me? No.
Okay.
All right. What's he doing? His hands like going into his pockets. Does he have an itch? So then, this is quick, but he says, you can talk to me afterwards. And then as a reassurance, he goes, and it'll be pretty quick. So like doing the art. No love, no care, no like, I don't know how long it will take. I need to be inspired.
Bang this out.
Just knocking it out, fucking yes. Making widgets at the widget factory.
Yes. Tack it up on the wall, roll in a bunch of tanks and big like barbed wire mm-hmm. fences around it.
Yeah. Stick it up there. Tape in a glue stick and throw up whatever bullshit I came up with today. Who cares? Yeah. And then fucking put a laser beam in front of the doorway. Slice in half anybody who I don't like the look of. Forget it. Play it.
Okay, thanks for telling me.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, that's what I had to say.
All right.
I'm also starting a beautiful house, too.
Okay, stop it.
Okay. This is so typical.
This is no one specializes.
/producer/director, fucking famous artist / Beetle House architect.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm also starting a Beetle House,
okay,
too.
Sure.
First of all, no, you don't need anything from me. Don't bother you. That's all you had to say. Is it all you had
to
say?
And also, here's a completely new conversation that I'm about to initiate. Again, don't bother me.
Uh-huh. Don't bother me. And it's such a like, it's a forced scarcity of resources, right? It's controlling the supply
mm-hmm.
so that it's like, oh, well, would I be allowed to participate in the Beetle House? Mm-hmm. Could I get in on this? Like, you know that's what he wants. I'm not going to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so clear that it's like, oh, shit.
But he can't ask.
The museum thing is sailed, but I also might start a Beetle House. Mm-hmm. Would you want in on the ground
floor? I actually think he wants you to ask so he can say no.
Right.
And, like, effectively, like...
But at some point...
Have a guard... shoot you, kill you.
At some point, someone has to fund the Beetle House. Like, this is what I've learned.
Oh, yeah, sure.
He doesn't, because he doesn't have, in his opinion, enough containers. Play it.
I don't know if I would do this, but I don't know if I could maybe do, like something... I could not do
a garden. Okay, so can you pause it? Can you bring this to me when it's a little more... built out,
like,
if at all, like, once again, like, you say you don't want to be bothered, I think I'd rather hear about this. Would you actually know what the fuck you're gonna do?
Right.
It's like, because it honestly sounds like you
he's standing so far away. It's like you're trying to leave.
Yeah,
but like, then just leave. I don't know. I mean, yeah, and keep going, because there's something else fucked up that happens as he's transitioned. I'll tell you. Yeah, to a new topic. Okay.
Something scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like in front of the building, and then when there's just like regular people going in, the monsters they'll move. The scary stuff will move. But when there's bad guys, maybe the scary stuff could scare them away.
Oh, that's smart.
Did we learn?
I don't know if I'll do that or not, but maybe.
All right.
Hang on.
It could be like seeing a big monster or a ghost or something. But I need to make
to scare them away from the Beatles or the art.
Scare them away from the art.
Pause it.
Okay.
Like, so I'm an asshole? Like, you brought up the Beetle House. He says, I might start a Beetle House. Okay, cool. Then he's like, I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. We were on Beetle House. I don't know if I'm going to do this or not, but maybe there could be something scary to stop them from coming inside. The bad guys again. We're back to the bad guys.
Well, and then he says, so regular people can go in. Okay, regular people.
Yeah, versus yeah
bad
I think
guys.
I know what regular
I think
people.
I know, yeah.
I wonder if the regular people look a lot like you. So there's like, there's that issue. And then we've somehow switched off of Beetle House back to art, and I'm supposed to know that I'm a fucking asshole, right? Because I said, like, sorry, the scary stuff is protecting the Beatles. There were guards for the art
about,
already.
Like, people going in, and I was like, I thought we were talking about Beetle House.
But
like,
basically, he says, yeah, I'm like, people going to the Beetle House, but I'm like, maybe it's a Beetle, you know, a display of the Beetle House. But then it's like, what I'm realizing too is he's worried about having to pay the guards. He first brought up needing money to pay the guards, and he's going, can I somehow essentially use AI instead of paying labor and having to deal with employees? Can I just make something scary like a monster or a ghost?
Mm-hmm. That's
now I don't need a guard
back and forth. So we're using it. It seems like facial surveillance. We're using an algorithm that will determine whether the monster or ghost slides into place.
I'm sure that filter won't have any problematic biases, the one that's deciding who's a bad guy.
Oh, no, it's but totally objective. Yeah. It's just.
But, and then play it because it gets, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there could be monster themed, but the monster needs wheels for...
Okay, stop it. The monster needs wheels.
Okay, I was going to say, like,
what is he even saying? Yeah.
Yeah.
There could be monster things. First, he said monster or ghost. Now, I guess we're settled on monster. Decision's been made. Congratulations. There could be monster things, but the monster would need wheels, and he's pointing at his feet. Those aren't wheels.
I mean, I guess that's where they'd be. I guess they would be in that, like, general. I mean, if it's, like, a humanoid monster, like, they would be in that direction. But just like, number one, why are you still fucking talking to me about this?
Yeah,
like you said minutes ago now,
well,
that you were gonna leave. The whole premise of the conversation is that you don't want to be bothered. It's,
and
like,
drawing me in further and further.
It seems like you do.
And, yes, he needs, because he's desperate for me to validate these ideas that are completely half-baked, completely, you know, just under considered. And so, like, now the monster will need wheels. And this is the only thing I will say, having watched this. he does provide a physical approximation of what it will look like when the wheels are activated on the monster.
Yeah.
And I think he may be onto something.
Okay, let me see.
Bulkron, it would move to the side so the people can go in.
He does.
But when
yeah.
there's a bad guy, it will keep closed. And they kind of like move their teeth and pretend to eat the bad guy.
Okay, pause it. So I do like the way that the monster sort of spreads its arms out and like shuffles to the side. And then when the bad guys come who aren't allowed in, which I don't know that we should even have that technology, that they keep closed and he sort of closes his hands in prayer hands. Then a new element is added. We've lost the armed guards. The teeth could move and pretend to eat the bad guys.
Yeah.
Well, for whose benefit? For whose benefit? Who's seeing, who is witnessing this? If the bad guys are not actually getting eaten, I don't believe it's a deterrent. Is it just for me, right? The general public to stay afraid. Oh, I'd better not do anything like what the bad guys are doing.
Right.
Because then that'll be me.
And it's just our culture's like insatiable demand that others be punished. So we mm-hmm. can feel validated mm-hmm. if we see someone else pretend to get eaten by the monster. Yeah. Like that puts us, we just need an example of like someone who is beneath us in that way. Right? The monster slid out for me.
And does it not feel like he's hedging a little bit by going like, and the teeth will move and there's this microscopic pause.
He doesn't even know
pause.
If he's gonna do this.
Microscopic pause
like
where he
you're
goes,
not.
He goes, pretend to eat the bad guys. It's like,
yeah.
You were going to say it'll eat the bad
eat
guys.
Eat the bad guys.
You were going to say
yes,
that.
Yes.
And then you just shift to, and it'll be pretend. Don't
yeah,
worry.
So like once all the money is spent or whatever, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, now
we couldn't actually figure out how to make it pretend. So we're just going to go ahead and have it eat the bad guys. Go back to sleep, America. Okay, finish the video.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll do that or not, but I'm pretty glad I make sure.
And he's gone.
I just runs leave off. It.
I don't
and
know
not,
if I'm going to do that or not.
Towards, not in any direction. Where just like, I know the layout back here. What's over there?
I don't know. It's certainly not an art studio.
That's not where you head when you're like actually trying to get something done.
No. And I will own, you know, I was sort of shocked throughout this exchange. I am complicit. You know, I hear that I'm saying that's a good idea.
There's no judgment on like your reaction in this
situation. Well, what am I supposed to do?
What like, are you supposed to do?
In that moment, like just engaging and being, I mean, you heard what happened with the stairs thing.
Yes.
Like he's so combative. Like I don't think I could have necessarily dissuaded him. And it's like, I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. It's like, well, I hope you don't.
The only positive of this shit is never going to happen. He is like, he is not going to do one thing.
No.
Like what? It's like a day later now, right?
Haven't seen the
no art.
Has not come
no
up
guards.
Again. Hasn't mentioned the museum.
Yes.
No guard interviews have taken place. There's nothing scary. No
yes.
monster or ghost. I haven't even seen a wheel like loose in the house that could be applied to
and
a
this
monster.
Is just like... How we need to genrefy all of our work now. So it's just like, okay, what's the only fucking thing that's like making money
mm-hmm.
at like this dude, like these horror movies.
It's
okay,
horror
let's
movies,
do a fucking,
horror.
Let's like do a whole fucking Guillermo del Toro exhibit at LACMA. Let's mm-hmm. like have Tim Burton travel around the country.
Slap it's some
like,
wheels on those monsters
okay,
in the fucking... You
great
know,
art museum.
Hands with eyes on it from Pan's Labyrinth, just on a wheel rolling around.
So
unless you're a bad guy, then in that case, the fucking pretends to eat you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hope the guards will clean up the drool.
I got another one. He's got a little sister. Maybe
going
maybe
through this
that'll
exhibit
work
it's gonna
out.
Fucking suck, except it'll never happen.
Yeah. It won't even happen.
Bye.
Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort, but it is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. We're so excited to be working with Mack Weldon again. We wear Mack Weldon stuff. I'm wearing a Mack Weldon sweatshirt right now, but it has been, we've had a few years
in the wilderness. Great stuff. Yeah. We had a little bit of a period where we were not actively engaged in this partnership with them. It was really hard on us. I like to think it was hard on them. I don't know. That wasn't expressed to us ever. We struggled in that time.
And that was, I think, part of it was like really wanting to maintain a total separation from the partnership for a while. We are back. Mack Weldon, the underwear's great. The Ace sweatpants.
The sweatpants I have always loved. I recently ordered, and I will report back on them in the next ad, fingers crossed, if we have one, and I hope we do. What's going on? But I did order a polo shirt.
Wow.
A silver, and silver is their special fabric that is like antimicrobial. I got the Silver Peak polo shirt. And I don't really wear those, but I do kind of like them. And this could be a whole new me that you end up seeing.
And so people might be asking, we'll just cover it in this ad before we move forward. What happened to Mack and Weldon, the prospector characters you used to do for Mack Weldon ads? Mack and Weldon are dead. We want to like underscore that fact. It was very important to.
Yeah, it was. It was not the only reason that for the break, but we did give them their space. We did take a break, and Mack and Weldon wasn't not a reason that we came to that place with this company, and so they are dead. You know, no reason to go into any of the gruesome details. Those characters have been killed, murdered. And that's how they're dead, was not natural causes, was not anything peaceful. They're gone.
Breathable underwear that keeps you cool, dry, and comfy all day. Crazy comfortable but elevated sweatpants from the Ace collection. The Silver Peak polo, the Silver Crew Neck t-shirt. Great stuff. Get it at Mack Weldon. Timeless looks with modern comfort. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code THEBOYS. That's M-A-C-K. WELDON.com, promo code the boys.
Let's face it, folks, shopping for loved ones can be difficult, but Aura is making it a lot easier. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? I know I am. Aura frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos. So I took advantage of this. Obviously, people know I'm a wife guy, and my wife is also a mom. So for Mother's Day this year, I know I want to give her something special that makes her life a little bit easier. So I'm going to preload the Aura frame with images of gifts that I want her to buy me. That way, I'm taking so much of the pressure of shopping for me off of my wife. It's called being a considerate husband, and I can't imagine a better gift than a frame with a series of images of items I wish I had. From grandmothers to new mothers to aunts to even friends in your life, everyone will love an Aura frame. It was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages, and they make it easier to let them know where they've maybe been letting you down and not getting you exactly what you want. That's why there's nothing more passive-aggressive and thoughtful than an Aura frame. Right now, they've got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Oh, and terms and conditions? Yeah, they apply.
Can we take that? Just take that down a little bit. Down, 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 down. Down. Rupert Grint. Down more. Just turn it off. Hey, everyone. A little bit of a special episode today. So this is a comedy show, of course. Like we have a lot of fun on the show, but it's also a place where we have really come to like build relationships with the people who we've worked with, both here at HeadGum, of course, and at Earwolf before that, all along this this journey of almost 10 years that we've been on. And there are times when people in this community that we've built really need our support. And today is about that. There's someone who we really love who has been through something and needs us right now. He's here to talk about it today. What the experience was like, what the recovery's been like. And
I want to apologize. Yeah. I want to apologize because I wanted to be there for our friend and I wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't strong enough to go and be face to face with this kind of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a coward and I feel weak and I'm ashamed. And yet I know what I needed for me. I couldn't walk in. I drove to the building today and I put my hand on the door and I started shaking, like quivering. Yeah. And I just knew that physically I wasn't going to be there. And when you have this strong of a connection to someone and a love for them, their pain is your pain.
Yes.
And I have to own the fact that it wasn't brave, but it was necessary.
It is so brave of you to share that. And to give yourself what you need in that way, and just to be totally honest,
enough.
Like, I have had to sort of disconnect from it. Like, to do this, I have to kind of like shut it off for
I don't even recognize you
a little while.
I don't even recognize you. You are a cyborg right now.
But it's about
wearing
it is
haze
about
suit.
It is about getting through this to
someone had to.
The person that and I'll sort of lay out what happened. Engineer Devin at Bafflegabs on X put out he released a post a few days ago announcing, I guess confirming, that he had cut his head open on the sneeze guard of the grocery store hot bar. And he shared an image of the aftermath of
trigger
of,
warning. Of if we're going to put the image up, I do want to say, like, if people are watching on video and we're going to show the image, which I understand why you would, to like fulfill the sort of responsibility of the audience and the narrative here. But I just want to say, like, when I saw it, it was very intense. I dropped my phone in the toilet and flushed a few times. Like, kept hitting flush because I wanted the picture to go away. And I don't think that I'm completely out of line, because I do, for also people who are just on audio, I do want to complete the picture. It's not just that he had a wound. There's a little scratch or something. He's bandaged up and he genuinely looks like fucking Rimmer from Red Dwarf.
Which is a comparison he made in the post.
No, the post said it. That's why I'm comfortable saying, because I saw it and I went, Jesus Christ, is that fucking Rimmer from Red Dwarf? tell me that's not Rimmer from Red Dwarf. What is he doing on Engineer Devin's feed at Bafflegabs on X? And then I kind of like my brain wrapped itself around what I was seeing. And of course, it wasn't Rimmer from Red Dwarf. It was Devin, but he fucking looked like that.
And are we able to put up the post on the video feed? Because I think it's actually like it's important to see the post. Great, thank you. And there it is. I somehow managed to cut my forehead open on the sneeze guard at the grocery store hot bar. Now I look like fucking Rimmer from Red Dwarf. Very smooth. And there's, of course, Adir Devin at Bafflegabs on X.
Mm-hmm.
On the left.
That's and that is him on the left. Yes.
Yeah. So and I think if you see the image, he's the one on the left.
It's important to see this because, like, that was September 19th, and I want to hear more about like the was that the actual day or did you need a few days to put this post together? And then today, 2 days later, September 21st, we have Engineer Devin here.
Yes.
As we can see, the bandage is much smaller than the one that you were originally
given.
Given.
Yes.
Yes.
At the grocery store.
Okay.
That
so
was handed to me there. That bandage.
Well, they had to protect their product. I mean, you were bleeding all over the food, all over the yams. And all over the salad bar.
Chicken
and,
Marcello.
Okay, so I really want to get into the details. For other people that have had this experience,
yes.
Or potentially like need to be aware of that this can actually happen to anyone, if this could happen to Edgier Devin, the last person I would have guessed.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Yes.
You walk around thinking you're invincible and that you can just go and like get a cup of soup or something at mm-hmm. the store and that you're never going to cut your head on the sneeze guard and be left looking like fucking Rimmer from Red Door. Like you literally, the arrogance that I myself had
yes.
to be, because I've gone to the grocery store and gotten food. I've been right next to the sneeze guard, no yeah. helmet, and and just thought that I'm like entitled to not look like fucking Rimmer from Red Dwarf, like that's like just an inherent right.
Yeah.
And when I see someone who I know is responsible, who I know is a little bit of an athlete,
right,
and not prone to sort of physical mishaps,
no, head on a swivel all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe swiveled a little too hard right into the sneeze guard this time.
And this is what we're finding out.
And and in my head, I think just because of the phrasing, and we haven't been able to sort of dissect this. And you called me to talk to me about it when it happened, and
yes.
I hung up the phone because I was too upset. And I was just busy. But and then I obviously felt guilty and I drove to the hospital and they said, of course, that you didn't go.
I didn't even go. No.
Yeah. Yeah. But I wanted.
On site. Field medicine.
Right.
Medic. I know at one point they took out the morphine to just.
Have it just be Bayless.
Just, yeah, to just ease your journey.
So, are you able to name the store?
Like, I'll name the store.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
It's a new natural market.
Lazy Acres?
That's the one.
Wow.
Yeah.
The new Lazy Acres
the new
that
Lazy
we're seeing
Acres
promoted around town.
That we're seeing promoted around mm-hmm. town.
And promoted as safe.
Yeah,
like
that's
it is one of their
ready
main
to yeah. open. All the protections were in place. Wow,
it's on the outside. Lazy Acres, safe
Lazy
natural market.
Acres.
Yeah,
holy smoke.
Well, and who guards the sneeze guard?
That's
like
yes.
Obviously the sneeze guard is guarding us against the sneeze. But who will protect us from the guard itself? It's a police state inside Lazy Acres where these sneeze guards are mad with power and just free to, you know, use extreme force against any of the customers. And it's like, who endowed them with this incredible amount of authority? But what I wanted to say is, when I read it just in my head, I think because of the name, my first thought was that you were leaning over and that you then sneezed so hard it jolted your jolted your head into the guard. Because I thought right. that would create a violent thrust of your head. And in that sense, like, the sneeze guard was doing its job, but I think also maybe misunderstood that all it has to do is keep the debris from your nose from reaching the food. It doesn't have to then also subdue you physically.
So you enter Lazy Acres. Is the plan to get lunch at Lazy Acres?
Absolutely.
Or are you just okay? You're
hit up the hot bar. Gonna
you
get,
go
like,
straight to the hot bar. This is your first visit?
I actually tried to go to the juice, and I've been thinking about this a lot. There's a juice stand there with like big old immunity, a green juice, this sort of thing. But there was a lady who was really taking her time looking at all of it.
Oh, and gosh, and if you had only gotten immunity juice.
It would have been slightly later, and things wouldn't have happened quite the same.
And you would have just had the physical protection of the juice.
You know, I would have had immunity.
Thousands of micro decisions that we make, and just... At sliding doors.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's got cayenne in it.
So
I wouldn't have gotten cut the same way.
Oh, my God. Well, that clots your blood up. I mean, even if you got the cut, it would have immediately
sealed. Just heal it up.
And there's ginger in there, too. So
you, instead, you're redirected to
the hot bar. I'm walking around. There's a couple people there. And, you know, they're kind of getting their thing. I'm kind of scoping it out, seeing what they're... Mashed potatoes today.
Okay.
You know, and they've got the garlic chicken. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I'm heading, the garlic chicken.
But so you do a full lap.
Yeah.
Can I just say what I hear in your voice a little bit as you tell this? And it's obviously, it's become a story for you, which I think is good. Like, it's no longer this thing you have to relive every time.
That's right.
But what I hear, there's some self-deprecating tone, but there's also a little bit of blame that you place on yourself, even mentioning the juice, that it's like,
I know
that it's somehow your fault. And I want to say today from over here, I can't be there with you. I just wasn't strong enough.
Not strong enough.
I want to say it's not your fault.
Thank you.
It's not your fault.
No, that means a lot. Thank you.
It's not your fault.
Thank you. Thank you.
Devin, it's not your fault.
It's not your fault, Devin.
Thank you.
Well, tell the rest of the story. It might be your fault.
You were going
to the garlic chicken. Yeah.
Scoping it out. And then I see the lime broccoli. I'm like, that's step one. Whatever the protein is I'm getting, we're doing lime broccoli. Mm-hmm. So I'm over there at the corner. The lime broccoli's right on the edge of the sneeze guard. Got the little tub. I reach down to get the plastic lid for the tub.
Mm.
Just because I want to have it because I'm going to go that way where they don't have it. And I'm going to get the rest. Whatever. I bend down to get it. Stand up, slice my head open. That quick. In an instant. And
so it was an upward motion.
To get it, you put your head all the way underneath.
The plastic tops are under the sneeze guard.
So you can't even see where they are. Under there.
You kind of do.
Crawl into the bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then on your way back out, you're just sort of...
I didn't realize how far out I'd have to come. The sneeze guard goes so far out that when you get a little bit under, you're sort of like, oh, I must be clear here. And I just wasn't. And let me say this. I had bonked my head on that same sneeze guard.
On the way down?
2 weeks previous. 2 weeks previous. On the way up. Again, same thing. On that occasion, it was just a light bonk. On this occasion, I stand up and I go, oh, that hurt a little bit. More than just a straight bonk.
But you know what that feels like.
I know what that feels like.
Just established, you had...
I know what a bonk feels like.
You had already bonked on the exact same sneeze guard in the same spot doing the same thing.
I had had Bonk's adventure. And so I stand
so
up.
So it is
this,
your fault.
I stand up. So I kind of should
have
known.
And I do want to just, like, I can tell that Bonk's adventure is a reference to something.
Wow.
And, like, I
thought that would get some take up.
And, like, Rimmer from Red Dwarf.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if I'm used to you referencing things like cultural things that like everyone really understands.
Sure.
And like cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Bonk's Adventure was cool. You remember the TurboGrafx-16?
I know. I hate to, I don't want to sell out Hayes. I vividly remember Bonk's Adventure.
Thank you.
Okay, that's good to know because I just want to make sure that like everything is okay.
Not just things that never existed.
That is
just
something real
in my head. Bonk's Revenge was good too, the sequel, and that is much more like what happened with
what
the sneeze guard the second time.
Yeah. Bonk's Revenge, yeah, Bonk's Revenge. That does sound right. And when I went to college, there was a student there who I think didn't have a lot of experience with drinking and fell out of the top bunk twice and hit their head both times and then was behind their back referred to as Bonk for the rest of the year. And Bonk's Revenge. I do want to say that like hearing this tale did inspire me, you know, to do some research on Lazy Acres and just sort of who owned it and who had designed it, because it felt like maybe something untoward was going on. And it is, in fact, managed by a shell corporation that is actually the primary investor is Jigsaw from the Saw movie. So you think about where they place these lids and where the guard is.
It starts to make a kind of twist
and also,
and how quickly they brought the Rimmer from Red Dwarf Band-Aid out. Like, all of this is designed. Like, none of this is an accident.
It was such a big Band-Aid.
And that they've been able to watch your behavior and your greed.
Mm-hmm.
And deliver a punishment so specifically tailored.
To loving garlic chicken.
Yeah. And the lime broccoli, too. They know that's my Achilles.
Can I ask, I mean, as we start to get into the liability conversation, is this a is this a transparent sneeze guard?
It is transparent.
Okay.
Yes. Now, I want to describe that there are two planes of the sneeze guard, right? Okay. There's kind of the front-facing plane for this side, and then that side's got a plane, and there's a little gap between the two, mm-hmm. right? At the edge of those gaps is where I sliced my head open.
Mm.
And I'll tell you, when I stood up and I touched the side of it, I was like, that's fucking sharp. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the one bit I will be angry
okay,
about.
Okay, people.
It was fucking sharp. Okay. And here's a great detail. After they gave me the bandage, they're sort of, are you okay? I'm like, I haven't been to their restroom. Is there a restroom around that I can just go clean the blood off of my arms? Because I was covered in blood. It felt like a bonk. It bled so much. It bled so much. And I'm standing in a grocery store with their napkins on my head asking for some assistance. They send me to the bathroom. I'm cleaning up. A guy comes over. He goes, what the hell happened, man? And I notice he's in, you know, he works there. And I go, I stood up and I cut my head open on the sneeze guard at the hot bar. And he kind of looks at me for a second and goes, you know, I believe you. And I was like, well, yeah, it happened. And he goes, no, well, look. And he shows me he's got a giant scar on the side of his arm. He goes, that's from the sneeze guard when we were installing it. So this is why I'm comfortable calling out the name, because someone there knew that that was way too sharp. We cut one of our employees. Well, let's not fix it. Surely won't be an issue again. No one wants the delicious lime broccoli at the hot bar.
At the very least,
unbelievable.
The sneeze guard needs to be heavily, heavily frosted.
It really needs to be tinted, frosted.
Frosted.
Mm-hmm. It needs frosted tips.
It definitely does.
If to simultaneously, that'll accomplish two things at once. Increase the visibility of the sneeze guard.
Absolutely.
And also reduce the attractiveness of the food underneath. Just make it a little less vivid so people aren't plunging.
So they hang back just
into the bar.
That's right.
To secure the lid.
Because once you go past that sort of event horizon,
yes,
you are likely.
So you were planning ahead thinking, I will be needing a lid for...
once I get to the other end of the bar and get my, you know, chicken, potatoes, whatever I was going to go
because
with. Rockfish. Okay. The rockfish is good.
Because you were going to be taking this home, or you did say, yeah, I noticed you said earlier, I hadn't gone to the bathroom yet, implying that you were going to take your food into the bathroom.
No, I just...
Yeah.
It's very strongly implied that your intention was
that it was to get all the food, go into the bathroom, chow down, come back out, and then just buy like a drink or something because you right. feel guilty that you ate all their hot bar food in the bathroom.
And what I heard from your, like, you know, obviously this has gotten out in the world and we've seen
different
coverage of it.
Yeah, a lot of pickup.
And apparently a journalist spoke to an employee there where you had said that you were planning on dining in and they said, there are no seats. And you said, yes, there are.
Devin, can I ask, like, I just because I'm obviously not in the room with you.
Right.
What I'm seeing is that what I hope I'm seeing accurately is that you have an REM t-shirt under a Blur sweatshirt.
That is correct.
That's right.
That's okay. What's happening. Double 90s.
Can I just say this is such a relief to me because I know initially the medical team on site was worried that the location of the wound could have actually impacted the part of your brain that loves sound. And that was an element of me being unable to walk in because I just thought, what if Mr. Sound Loving Man?
What if I don't even care anymore?
Shows up and only likes sound, right. Or I don't even want to talk about what else. But the fact that, and I know your wardrobe is your wardrobe, you wouldn't have had right. time to replace it, but it feels
not
like
entirely.
It was put on with intention, especially the
almost,
layers.
I almost worry that it's a performance. This is someone
protesting
who doesn't
much.
Love sound.
Going through the motions.
But really needs to create the impression that he does.
All these bands.
For, yes.
Yeah, I love these bands.
Love band mm-hmm. music?
I should point out, this is actually an Are You Talkin' R.E.M. Re-Me shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, it's like, it's music, but also podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
But also podcasts.
Mm-hmm. It's the
and that's part of sound.
Of talking about sound
kind
of music.
Different kind of sound.
Yeah.
No, I still love it. It didn't get that part. It didn't get it.
What's the plan? Will we be returning? Is like what do they have to do to win back your
right.
business, or is it important to you to show that you can go to the grocery store again to have your lunch
and not get hurt?
Yes, and like and go through the complete
process
from the hot bar
right.
to the checkout
yep.
to the bathroom
exactly
to. The bus that has brought you there with the other people from where you live.
I hope to be able to build up that confidence soon to go back in there because
okay.
I can't lie. The hot bar is really good. It's really good. The good stuff at the hot bar. The mac and cheese is solid.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
like, I'm going to have
wow,
to try.
You really have.
I've studied.
Yeah.
He knows every item. I think that...
But it gets etched in your brain in
yeah,
a way, right?
And
that's trauma.
Trauma.
Like, what we're talking about is trauma right now.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
And the body keeps the score. And according to Devin's body, the vertical scar, he has 1 point.
Yeah. I think that's actually the hot bar... Marking
one.
Their score. Yeah. Hot bar 1, Engineer Devin 0.
That's entirely true.
the shame of someone writing their score, their winning score on your body.
When?
So what? Yeah. So my understanding is that Lazy Acres is committed to making change.
Yes.
As a result of what happened. They will be changing their name to Vigilant Acres. And they stand in solidarity with Devin and all other victims of the sneeze guards.
I really thought it was beautiful what they put together. You know, there was a whole, there was a march through the frozen food aisle, and it was really powerful seeing the way that the community activated around this event, because
there's
like
a 21 juicer salute.
It's easy to be cynical, yes, in this day and age, and feel like everyone's, you know, in their bubble and no one's really worried. But when something happens, especially to someone who had become something of a fixture at Lazy Acres, memorizing the hot bar, eating in the toilet. You know, and kind of an unofficial mascot, and to know that people didn't just turn their backs, but that they were actually so afraid of legal action that they did commission a song about you. And I want to say, like, I'm proud to be a part of you know, this city, because it really was it was a whole, like, the culture of Los Angeles and this current moment, and all of it came into play. And I think
that the concept of California strong was introduced,
emerged from this. And I think that they are going to put a little plaque up in the location that it is now the engineer Devin at Baffle Gabs on X Memorial Sneeze Guard. Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, it's nice that so much, I guess you'd say, beauty came out of it.
No pleasure without pain, yes? Red Hot Chili Peppers sang about this a bit.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's always spiked with pain, isn't
That's
it?
Right.
Music is my aeroplane, Just take me up in the sky, music. Bring me to my destination, California. Cation.
Engineer Devin, where can we find you?
At Lazy Acres. No,
yeah, at Lazy Acres.
Okay.
I think they're accepting donations for their legal fund. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Yeah.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.